or in the book of James. That young lady knows exactly where we are.
She marks her book too.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, 4 and verse 12. Haste. Eston. Nomothetis. Kai. Krites. Kol. Dinaminois. Sose. Kai. Apolese. See? See, that's just like in Spanish. See, isn't it?
No, you left out one.
See. See. Day. Tis. A. Home. Crenon. Tone. Placeon. All right. Let's see what this says. Haste Eston. Now, in King James, it says something like, what was it saying, King James?
There is one lawgiver.
What?
There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest one another?
What's it say now? Start off with it. Is that King James?
Yeah.
James. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?
All right.
This one says there is only one lawgiver.
All right. Only one.
Yes.
All right. Actually, only isn't there.
Yeah, it's in italics.
It's in italics. Only isn't there.
Of course, it doesn't
say
here.
But, is yours have only?
No. There is one lawgiver.
Okay. One he is what it literally says. One he is excludes all others, doesn't it?
Okay.
All right. So, you can understand that there is only, but it's not in the original language. One, he is lawgiver. All right. Nomothetes. Now, it comes from nomos antiphony, is what this word comes from. Nomothetes. It means to place a law. To give a law and to place a law. Then it says, and judge, critic. Our word critic comes right out of this word crites. What is the word in Spanish, just? Sister Andina, what's the word for critic in Spanish or judge?
Juez or judge.
What? Say that again.
Juez.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Or judge.
All right. How about critic?
Critico.
All right. That's right. Straight out of Greek then, isn't it? All right. That word means to judge. All right. And the one being able, whole dinaminos. The one being able. Now the word the, see that word whole there? Whole. See it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the O with a rough breather on top of it. A whole, like whole, like Santa Claus, right? Whole dinamonos. Whole dinamonos. The one being able to judge. Or to save, that is. The one being able to save. There is one lawgiver and one critic. And one being able to save. All right? So-so. That comes from, or so-se comes from so-so, to save. And James 4:12. And apolese. Apolese. This word apolese also means put somebody in hell. Also, that's what it means. It means the final destruction. But the people in hell don't burn up, do they? No, they don't burn up. We had a real good song to start off with this verse, these verses tonight. We're going to get into it a little bit later. I'd rather have Jesus and silver and gold and on, and the powers of the sin that brings into this, that destroys. Our sins destroy us. And when God puts us in file 13, we have really put ourselves in file 13. What's file 13?
Trash can.
The trash can. The trash can, the garbage pit of humanity is, and angels and demons, is hell. All right? To destroy. And then, and you, who are you? The one judging the neighbor. The one near you. All right? The one near you. Now, The book of James here is coming down hard and heavy on the Pharisees. The courts were bought and sold in this day by the rich and the powerful. The courts were bought and sold by the rich and powerful. And if you knew the right people, you got anything you wanted. Of course, it's not very different from that today, I tell you the truth. But if you know the right people, you could get anything you wanted. And these were people that usurped power over others. The average person was a total, he was at the mercy of the big shots. The mercy of the big shots. Who are you, he says, to destroy and to judge people and people's lives? Hebrews 7:11, 8 and verse 6, Matthew 10:28, Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, 1 Samuel 2:16, 2 Kings 5 and 7. These are all Romans 9 and 20 and 14 and 4 and James 2 and 20. These are all cross references to this verse. So this verse just does not stand out by itself in the Bible, does it? It's not all by itself. What is in this verse right here is very powerful. Now keep in mind that sermon that we heard to begin with, that sermon and song. Okay? That's a beautiful song. Brother, that was good because it's going to come right in here. Now, here we have a warning against boasting and bragging. probably the most quoted story that Jesus told was where he talked about a Pharisee and a publican.
Praying.
And the Pharisee said, look who I am and what I'm doing and look how big a shot I am. I'm thankful that I'm not like other men. But what was this Pharisee in the synagogue? He was one of the lawgivers, wasn't he? He's one of the judges in the synagogue. So the Lord here, through James, is coming down on these people. This ruling class over the slave class. We have the princes and the paupers. All right, and they're this far apart too, like this. But God goes like this and says, all of you are looking on my level. I'm looking at all of you the same way. I'm looking down on all of you, and there's not one of you different from the other. Now, who has made you a lawgiver or a judge over your fellow man? Bad guys. And then it says here, agay mean. Agay, verse 13. Neen, hoy, lagontes, semiron, a, urion, horusometa, ace, tain day, tain, holen, kai, hoyesomen, ake, any auton, kai, ked. Care de summon. Now let's look at this. James is going to use this little phrase here. And by the way, it's basically the only place it's used. We have the word hage there. And it's second person singular present, imperative active. But it's like an interjection. Interjection in use. He's interjecting this and says, come now. Or pay attention. The ones saying. All right? The one saying. The word saying there is present participle, active, nominee, plural, masculine. These are the subjects. It's plural. A bunch of them saying this. Okay? And they're saying this. I want you to pay attention. Who is the God of heaven and earth and the God of time and the God of great power? This is the God that we serve. The one saying today or tomorrow. The word tomorrow there, it's actually, see that word tomorrow, that's an adverb. When you have an adverb, usually on the end of a word, what do you have it when you have an adverb? An L-Y.
Oh, yeah.
It's an active word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Today-ly or tomorrow. The word today up there, that's an adverb also. So it says today-ly or tomorrow-ly. All right? This is action. We're going to do something today or tomorrow. We shall go. Parousometha. First person plural, future, indicative. What voice is that, Brother David?
The middle voice.
Middle voice. We're going to do this on our own now.
The middle voice is doing it on your own?
That's right. Doing it on our own.
Sounds like some farmer renting a piece of ground.
Well, he's talking about...
Well, what he's talking about is merchants. The Lord is giving us a picture of the highfalutin, traveling Hebrew salesman. He's a merchant, and he's a rich merchant, is what he is. This guy has got a lot of slaves dragging his stuff along, and he's overpowering all of them, and he is a rich and powerful man. We shall go ace. Look at that word ace there. At the preposition, page 119, if you want to look it up in your little books, you want to write that down. All right? And this is a sign of the direct object, isn't it? All right? What's the Hebrew equivalent of ace in Greek? The Hebrew equivalent of this. Remember that one? The first and last letters of the Hebrew. Keep that in mind. All right? And the word ace means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's what the grammatical idea is. All right? Now, I brought some things to show you tonight. Grammar is very important in Greek. All right? Some of you haven't seen this. This is a Greek grammar. I showed you a big lexicon last week. Well, here's a big Greek grammar. This one A.T. Robertson wrote. It's a grammar of the Greek New Testament in the light of historical research by A.T. Robertson. And I'm going to put this on the camera there. Now, where I keep quoting these grammatical terms to you, I only quote the ones that are the most important. Ace is an extremely important little preposition. This is where we have to argue with people about baptism or regeneration. You're baptized ace athesin for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness? No. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action because of the forgiveness of sins is why we're baptized. We're baptized because we have been saved. Anyway, this book is filled with grammatical explanations all the way through it. This is, if you're really going to study Greek, a lot. Now, you know the little Greek grammar that I wrote, the little thin Greek grammar? Almost everything that's in that grammar is in this one right here. Everything that's in this is in that little grammar, but it's in the extremely brief form. This one explains it to the nth degree right here. All right? And of course, you know about the... Analytical Greek lexicon, which you absolutely need if you're going to study it. And then, if you're going to find out how many times a Greek word is used in the New Testament, you have this one. But there isn't any English in it at all. You look up the Greek word, and it tells you every place it's found in the New Testament. And that's it. That's what we call a concordance. And this is a concordance to the Greek New Testament by Moulton and Gidden. Again. Well, I've shown you this one to you or not. Show this one to the camera. Because this one's for future use. All right. The Concordance of the Greek New Testament. Now, that's where you find out how words are used in different ways. A.T. Robertson wrote a short Greek grammar, a brief one. And this is it. And it's been out of print for so long, I had this printed a long time ago. And anyway, there it is. That's a short Greek grammar. This is just a really concise. Now, the one I have is not a short Greek grammar. That's what you call a brief Greek grammar. It's gone by so quick. But you know what? Still, everything that's in my little Greek grammar is in these books. Except it uses it in a very brief term. I don't explain everything very well. Now, remember I told you about the moods and tenses. How important they are. They wrote a whole book about it. The Moods and Tenses of the New Testament Greek by Burton. This tells you just about moods and tenses. All of the moods and tenses that I talk about. The indicative mode and the imperfect tense and the perfect tense and pluperfect and all that. All right, I'm going to put this one up there also. All right, move it.
You've got everything plugged in, Jeff?
I've got everything plugged in. If I didn't, I'd sure be lost right now, wouldn't I? Now, I told you about the text in the New Testament. And here is how you study the text. As we go and we find different things in the text in the New Testament. This is by Bruce Metzger, and it's full of material about the text of the New Testament. And it's probably the best book that's ever been written on the text of the New Testament. It's the text of the New Testament, it's Transmission, Corruption, and Restoration by Bruce Manning Metzger. All right. Well, you got some of these things. Now, as we get this, that little word ace there. Now, I told you there are a few good commentaries. But when you read these kind of commentaries like this, Brother Wally, you know what you got to know?
German.
A little bit of German.
Yeah.
What does it say right there? Oh,
Kiel Dietrich.
All right. Kiel und Dietrich. All right. It's German. All right. So there's a lot of German, some Latin in here, and Greek and Hebrew. And there's 10 volumes of this. And there's 10 volumes of it, and it goes down into the New Testament, cross-references to the Old Testament in places. John 1 and 1. It'll tell you all about John 1 and 1 and who the Logos really is in here. But it goes back to the book of Genesis. Anyway, these like this are very important, but you've got to know, you've got to have your foot in languages to do it. Now, those of you that can learn that know Spanish and German, you already have a head start. Brother Phil one time asked me a question. One of his students had asked him. He said, I've got some real smart students in my class, and they asked me a question, and I don't know the answer. He said, I know I could get it from you. And he asked me the question, and I said, well, I'll tell you what to do. Do you have Kiel Dietrich? And he said, yeah. I said, well, go there and look it up. He looked at me and said, I can't read it. Well, you know what? It's hard, so I went and looked it up for him and gave him the answer. But you do have to know other languages. Half of it's in Hebrew and half of it's in Greek and some of them in Latin and German and whatever. So you've got to know, be exposed to these languages. That's why it's important to know languages. All right, now let's go back and look at this thing. Come now, the one saying today or tomorrow, we'll go ace. Extension and limitation, the thought of verbal action. That's one thing you really need to remember. Unto this place, the city. All right? Look at the word. Tain, Dane. That's a little old. You can look that one up on page 403 if you want to look it up. All right? That Tain, Dane, that comes from Ho and Day, actually. And it says the day, or moreover the, kind of are in this place. The word Pauline. Have you ever heard the word police? Mm-hmm. The root of this is police. We got our word police from this. What does a policeman do? What is a policeman supposed to do?
Enforce the law.
He's supposed to keep a city safe. That's what he's supposed to do. That's why they call him a policeman. He's supposed to keep a city safe. And then, we shall do or we shall work. Comes from poio. Page 332 and page 333, if you want to look up that word poio there. We shall work. Here, a K. Here we have another adverb of place. And that, you can look that one up on page 123 if you want to. And then it says, there, a year. All right. Now the word enaiotone, what it actually means is a full cycle of seasons. Oh. A full circle of seasons. That's what that word means. Eaotone. A full circle of seasons. And how long is a full circle of seasons, basically?
A year.
How long? How many days?
Oh, 365.
365 days, basically. All right. Now, how many of you know that you're going to make it until December, the last day of December this year?
We
think we do. We can't imagine being dead. But can you guarantee? Well, there was a man that was kind of arrogant. I like the old guy, but he was arrogant. George Burns. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He had made a contract to show in a place when he was 100 years old, I believe.
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah, he made a contract, but I don't think he did it.
Well, they had the party, but he couldn't attend.
Yeah, he couldn't make it.
He was about gone.
He was almost gone.
But he didn't get there.
Mm-hmm. Jeff? Mate, you yes.
My printout, I have an extra word that you don't have in the text to it.
Okay, where is it, brother?
It's after the Chi.
Which, after Chi? All right. We might have a different text.
It could be. I have this long, drawn-out word right here.
Let me look that up.
Looking at it sideways, yeah.
What?
You're looking at it sideways.
Yeah. Let me see if I can see if it's in this one. Where is it now?
It's right here, this one.
All right. I probably left that one out, didn't I? So write that one down in there. It's, thank you for watching me. See, I went through this a couple of times and never even caught this. Because I wasn't looking at other texts with it. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
So what does it mean?
All right. We'll go there. And?
And we shall do work.
And we shall work.
We shall do.
Mm-hmm.
Or work.
Yeah, do or work. All right.
This one says engage in business.
And we shall, eporuth, it means that we shall trade. That eporo samatha, it means we shall trade. We shall work and we shall trade. All right. And it's first person plural future indicative active.
Buy and sell and make gain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now that's that's another word.
Can you put that on the
We board? Shall trade. I'm going to put that one up on the road.
And where does it go in this? After what word?
You see that Chi at the bottom?
Mm-hmm. At the very bottom?
A year. Just we there, a year, and then right there, and then we have the word eoton, and then Chi, and it goes right in the middle there, just before the other one. I just left part of it out. I skipped over it. See, I know how you can make all these mistakes. I've made them. In text. That's how the textual mistakes were made. See, we left out a little bit here. All right? And I'm glad that I have got students sharp enough to catch them.
Can I write the Greek part?
I'm going to do it, Marilyn. I'm on my way right now, but I have to get it written down here first, okay? I'm working on it. All right? Now, if I can find it with him, I can't read without my glasses, and then I can't see when I look up. Any of you have that kind of a problem?
You got bifocals?
That's yeah,
why
I've
got trifocals.
That's why I don't have bifocals.
It's a long one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Four syllables there, isn't it?
Alright. First person plural, future indicative active. That makes me proud of you guys when you catch these things. You caught one or two, David, in the past. I know you're paying attention when you do that. Alright. We shall trade. Alright. We shall trade, that's another word. This both two words that mean trade. All right? We shall trade. This word means just trade. We'll trade back and forth, okay? We're going to make some transactions. We shall make transactions. Just trades.
Okay.
Transactions.
Say the word, please.
All right. The word is imparuosametha.
Imparuosametha.
All right. And that's where it goes, right after that. And then we have another chi, actually. We got a chi left out and that one left out. And then we have that other word that's very important here. Chi kadesomen. Because this one means more than just trading.
That means make a profit.
This one here means to, and it's an Ionic word. So it goes back to Ionia. That's where the word originates, okay? And it means to, and you can look that one up on page 229 in your lexicon also. And it means to make a profit, to trade, but make a profit. It comes from kerdos, which means gain. All right? Now, do you like to farm, Brother Wally?
Sure, I do. Yeah.
Would you farm if you lost money?
Yeah. He has been a year.
You did that quite a few years. Well, I know all about that, too. With 40 acres, you can lose money every day and farm it. It just doesn't work unless you've got a nursery on it.
Well, it's a lot more fun if you make some money.
It's a lot more fun. Remember the old boy that went up to the lottery and he was going to spend, he was like $10 million up there, and they said, what are you doing? He said, I'm a farmer. You like farming? Yeah, I like farming. What are you going to do if you win the lottery? He said, I'm going to farm until it's all gone. Well, now, have you ever seen a Jew losing money?
Huh?
They do a lot of trading, this word, but they don't lose any money. God gave them a gift to make money. You know, they're going to have to buy their land back when they went back to the land. God, now, did God give them a promise, a prophetic promise to the children of Abraham that they would do that?
Yeah.
And I've said a lot of times, the three races of man, what are the three races of man?
Aryan.
Well, I'm...
Black,
according to Noah's
white,
son.
Black, and Jew.
All right. All right. According to the three sons of Noah. All right. The three sons of Noah. Ham, what are they?
Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right. The Hamites.
Black.
The black people invented almost everything that's ever been invented. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't. I don't know if I even agree with that.
Well, that's history. You don't have to agree with
what I mean.
Well, wait.
They're inventing anything now.
Wait till you hear the rest of the story. The Hamitic people invented music, everything you can think of. All kinds of basic inventions they did it. Then the Japhethites, the white folks improved them. Okay. Who are the perfectionists? Where'd they come from? Them Aryans, huh?
Yeah. Why you point your finger?
Perfectionist. All right. German. What do? They perfect something. They'll make it perfect. And guess who's going to make money on it?
Jews.
The Jews. So we got the inventors, we got the perfectors, and we got the money makers. And that's basically, now that's kind of a joke, but if you study history, and the civilization, Western civilization, and even Eastern civilization, and the spread of what we call political science, poli-sci. If you study all of these things together, and economics, you're going to find out that that's exactly what's happened. And it's prophetic. Just go back and read the prophecies. Read the prophecies. Where is the Jew going to dwell? In the tents of Japheth. All right. Just think about those things. Well, let's get back to our subject, the buying and selling and trading here, okay? Now, it's warning against doing this. Now, by the way, there were old things. We'll do this tomorrow, and we'll do this tomorrow. We're going to make long, drawn-out plans. you will, if the creek don't rise, the Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Remember that old saying? I'll meet you here next week, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. The Lord willing. And we're going to see some of this, and we're in just a little bit. 4:14 now. If I don't make any more mistakes, you guys keep your sharp eyes on me, because I'm liable to make a mistake. I might have to go correct my text here now. I want you to do that. Oitenes. Uk. Epistaste. Tase. Arion. Poya. Hey. Zoe. Himon. Atimis. Gar. Esti. Pros. Oligon. Phi nomen. Nomen. I'll say it this time. Phenomene. All right. Epeta. Kai. Alphani somene. Some of those words are pretty long, aren't they? All right. Now we have a long relative pronoun here. Nominee plural masculine, hoitenes. What's the Latin equivalent? Anybody know? Let me just throw it. Qui. All right. Q-U-I, basically. Qui. All right. Who not? We know. Not ye are caused to know. Look at that word passive there. See that passive in there? Not ye are caused to know about tomorrow. What's tomorrow? The next day. Do we have any... Do we have any guarantee of tomorrow? No.
It tells us right here.
Yeah. What the life of ye? You don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. You know, I went to school with a guy that went down to went to work at Horn Coal Laboratories. Remember Horn Coal Laboratories a long time ago?
Yeah.
And he was 21 years old and he died... Not doing hard work or anything, he was there and just dropped dead with a heart attack. One of the kids I went to school with. 21 years old. Died. Heart attack. Didn't have another day. Never another day. And I'm sure he had a lot of plans. Now when you get up to 80 years old, when you're an octogenarian, now we got some of them in here, you don't make a whole lot of plans ahead of time for another, how many more decades?
Well, I'm looking at 10 years.
Well, brother, you're doing real good on it. I'll tell you that much.
But
you don't start making plans in decades ahead.
Yeah.
Every day you've got is borrowed time.
It feels restricting.
It is a gift.
It feels restricting.
Yeah. It's a gift. Every moment, every minute, every hour, every day is a gift of God. We don't have that. When you get older, you think more about it. Because you're getting closer to the finish line. It's just, that's the way it is. When you're 20 years old, you don't think a lot about that. You think you got... When you're 30 years old, you look back and say, where did my 20s go?
Never give up.
Well, that's the way you're supposed to look at it.
Right.
But, we don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. We ought to live every day like this is the last day of our life, but we ought to plan ahead. But live it like it's the last day. That's what a philosopher once said. The matter of the future. We don't have any guarantee of what comes afterwards, of what the life of you is. And then it says atmos. Look at this word, atmos. What do you think, what English word comes from this? Atmos. Isn't there a thing that you have a spray bottle that sprays out stuff?
Atomizer.
Atomizer. All right, a little atomizer.
Vapor.
Uh-huh. Atomizer, that's the thing you spray. Women used to have perfume in atomizers. Remember those little things they sprayed the perfume on? They still have those things? All right. And you go out there. I had an atomizer that I go out there and put fly spray in and spray the horses with. Keep the flies off of them. And we have an atmosphere, don't we? All from this word right here, atmos. For ye are, for vapor ye are, pros olikon, for a little while.
That's gone.
Appearing. Our lives, if we lived 100 years, what is the history of mankind? What's the real history of mankind? What's all the history of man that we know about historically and factually? How old is man? How long has he been on this earth?
Well, probably not over 6,000 years. Eight at the best.
6,000 years, approximately. Maybe a little over 6,000. All
compare
right.
That to eternity.
That's how long man's been on this earth. 6,000. That's 100 years.
60 centuries.
Yeah, 60 centuries. How far back do we remember our ancestors?
You have reference about 200 years.
Uh-huh. That's not very much. The rest of them after there are just a vapor, aren't they? Gone. You go out here and you buy a food. I remember my wife. This is kind of funny. I wish she's here.
Tell
her. Well, I'm not going to tell her. I want to just tell you this is when I married her. All she had to look forward before she met me was death. I mean, she had lived and worked all her life out there on the farm, just slaved.
This way, you talk.
Yeah. When we got married, within 2 weeks, she had picked me out a casket. She doubled my insurance policy and had gone out and bought a funeral plot and a headstone. Within 2 weeks of us being married.
You're already dead.
Wow.
I'm not kidding now. Now,
she didn't dig the hole, did she?
She what?
Didn't dig the hole.
No, they didn't dig the hole yet. She got me a shade tree to be buried under. That's just a flat fact. I'm telling you.
Huh.
She brought all this stuff. What casket do you want? I said, wait a minute. You don't mind if I don't move in right away, do you?
Well, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm thinking rapture.
Yeah.
I want to save that money.
Well, I'm going to pay you something. I've been paying for that thing ever since. That's right. That's thinking as a penny pincher. That's good. You won't need a grave. But I got one right out there by Buck Owens. He's right out there.
Okay, but I don't want one. I'm going on the upper ticket.
That's good. Our life is just a vapor.
Yep.
Just think about that. Now, we go out there and we pay for this perpetual care and all this kind of baloney. I'm going to tell you what, 200 or 300 years from now, they're liable to plow that up and put a big 30-story building on top of the thing. You don't think that's possible?
Absolutely it is.
Sure it is.
Sure it is. Perpetual care for how long?
Until somebody says
decides to do something 100 years from now. You go out here. How many of you been out Union Cemetery lately?
No.
That's an old cemetery.
Yeah,
it's old. Out there in the barrio now. I mean, it's in a bad neighborhood right now. It's pitiful out there. I went out there one time looking for my wife's mom and dad's grave out there. She wanted me to go out there. She was real obsessed about this grave business. I wasn't so happy about it. We went out there, and there's a policeman over there. We were out there in the pauper's graveyard, and one of her relatives was married out there in this pauper graveyard, you know, the potter's field. We went out there, and here's some cops out there underneath the tree, and they're waving at us, get away from them and everything. They were out there on the stakeout. I didn't know what they were doing. Bad area, boy. One time, that was a nice...
That was the elite.
That was the elite graveyard. Perpetual care? Our life is just an act like a vapor. For ye are a little while appearing. Then, thereafter, epeta, page 151 if you want to put that down. And that word olikon there, that one's on page 286. And aphanisomene. All right.
You know, when I was a kid in Fisherman's Club, I was about high school or maybe even before, we had learned these verses by memory, and I still know them.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd learned them in Greek.
Yeah, that's good. Now you see the need of it. You didn't see the need of it back then. I'm glad you've learned something, brother.
But my friends were taking Greek in Biola at that time.
Yeah.
Ed Schellenberg, Menno, those guys. Yeah. They, one of them was, Ed was teaching Greek in Omaha at the Bible College. You know.
Appearing is present participle, nominee singular feminine, and its middle voice. We appear for our little old selves. And then it says, alpha nisomene. That word alpha on the front of it there, what does that do in Greek? That negates the word, doesn't it?
Not appearing.
And then we disappear. And look what it says. Present participle, and it's passive voice. Or not passive, but middle voice. We appear and we disappear. We don't have anything to do about it in all reality, do we? You can take care of yourself the best you can. You can eat the right kind of foods. Take vitamins. You can take a whole handful of vitamins every day.
Sure. Jim.
Two handful of them. You can eat vitamins. You can live on vitamins, but it's not going to extend your life very far. Brother David.
On this word that's disappearing, it says present passive participle, nominative single feminine.
Yeah, it's nominative singular feminine.
What means
each one, or it means like we're the vapor.
But what's written underneath that? Because my page falls off.
Okay, afaniso.
Afaniso?
Afaniso. Okay. And it's... present participle, middle voice, nominative singular feminine, and it's describing that little vapor up there. We're like a vapor. Our life is just like a vapor. Just out here, if it's cold outside, you can go, and that vapor goes out there, and then it just disappears, doesn't it? According to 6,000 years, that's just about how brief our life is. The time that's going on, isn't it?
And that 6,000 years compared to eternity is even shorter than that.
That's right. But just think about it for a while. Remember when I tell you to go out and do something eternal? We are real good at doing things that are monetarily important right now. But how much eternal things do we do? Well, one thing about it, when you go to church and learn the Word of God, that's eternal.
And also winning people, but then that's not as easy as it seems.
No, it's not.
Seems winning like everybody people. In fall would say, hey, this is great. I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they don't.
They don't. A lot of people just don't want to do this. I was, I've been reading another book about the Dalton gang. You ever heard of the Daltons?
Oh, yeah.
The Daltons and the Youngers and the Jane.
I visited their hideout.
All right. They lived here in this valley, you know, up and down
to
this valley for a
long time.
Yeah. Well, they were here.
Kansas,
they lived right here. They lived right here. They robbed trains right up and down the San Joaquin Valley. They worked up there in Merced. And one of them, Littleton, he lived out here almost all his life. He didn't get in trouble, so don't think about him. He was not famous. That family was, they had a wonderful mother. Her father was very rich. When she got married, he gave her $15,000. And that was in the 1840s and 50s. $15,000 is a lot of money. Her husband did not drink. He did not swear or cuss. He did not gamble with cards or anything. He only had one fault. One fault.
Like to rob trains?
No. Honest man. Very Christian man. He was from Kentucky. What do you think he did?
Race horses.
Race horses.
Oh.
And he spent all of his money on race horses. With racehorses. His farm, everything he had went on that, and he hauled them boys around from one race to the other. Graft and Bob and Bill and all of those, you know, there was 10 boys all together. His mother was sometimes his mother would only see him 2 months of the year. He was off chasing around racing these horses on, he said, these flea-bitten nags. He said, you know, It wasn't my mother's fault that the boys went bad. He says, but she had part to do with it. She said, the kids were, those boys, the ones that were train robbers and stuff, the older boys she disciplined and she straightened out. But here come this other little bunch of boys, about five of those boys. They came up and they were spoiled. They would sit there and hold their breath until they turned blue. And they'd get what they wanted. And all the other boys was waiting on these little brats. He said, when Mama was away, he said, I paddled them. But when they got old enough, Dad drug them around from one racetrack to the other, and they ran with the most worthless characters. My dad never played cards or anything, never cussed, never drank, never used tobacco in his life. His only fault was he was a horse racer and gambler. And that was big enough to destroy those boys. To destroy them. Mother, she provided all that she could provide and work and farm with those other boys that stayed at home. He could throw it away on racehorses. Sad situation. What was it all about? Trying to get something for nothing. That's what it's all about. Trying to get something for without working for it. He said, the only problem with my family was that the bank robbers was, number one, laziness. They didn't want to do what God made. How does God decide that you're going to make your living? By the sweat of your brow. That's what's wrong with all that stuff. We're trying to get around the sweat of the brow business. Too lazy. All right. Our life appears and disappears. 4 and verse 15.
Antichrist.
That's a common word, isn't it? Antichrist. Anti-feminist. Whatever you know. Anti-this or anti-that. Two. Legain. Himas. Yon. To.
Have to wait on me for just a moment. I wish that thing would pop up there loud enough where I could hear it.
Yon. Ho. Kyrios. Tele. Kai. Sosomen. Kai. Poiesomen. Tuto. A. Ekino. Now this word, this little phrase is a very common saying back then. It was common in Arabic. What do the Arabs say? If Allah wills. Alright? What do Christians say? If the Lord wills. All right? These are all very common things. Even the... it's a Hellenistic. It's a Greek idiom. If the Lord is willing. In English, if the Lord is willing. It's gone. This is a phrase that's gone off. It didn't come basically from the Bible. It just came from people. If the Lord wills. He's quoting a very common phrase that was used in his time. That's what it is.
You know, the Haitians, they say, Libondu.
Libondu, huh? Yeah. Here we have anti and it's a little old, an exclamatory interjection there. Prepositional interjection. Against the, to say, you, if the Lord, he may will. And we shall live, and we shall do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will, or we won't. I had an old friend on the radio. He just said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. If the Lord wills, Lord willing. And when he'd come up to something, he'd always end a question or something. Well, if we can, either we will or we won't. Either we will or we won't. We may live to do it or we may not live to do it, huh? Who is the master in control of it?
God.
We don't have any control over our destiny, do we? In all reality, in our lives.
Is that the same like God willing?
Yes, God willing. God willing. That's a very common... It's a common... This is an old saying then. And it is a common saying today, even. The Lord willing, God willing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's an old Okie saying, isn't it? Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. 4:16.
In Acts 18:21, Paul used that expression.
Yeah. That's right. Acts 18:21, 1 Corinthians 4:19, and 16 and verse 7, Romans 1:19, Philippians 2:19 and 24, Hebrews 6:23, or 6:3, that is. And the Latin is Dio Volente. The Lord willing. All right. Let's wander on to the next verse. We're skedaddling right along through here, aren't we? Tonight we've covered more ground than we have lately. 4:16. Neen. Day. Acoste. N. Tais. Alla zoneas. Himon. Pasa. Caucasus. Kiote. Ponera. Estin. All right, Romans 1:30 also. But now, or moreover now, that word day there is a week adversity conjunction. Put down page 85 there so you can look it up and read all about it, all right? Week adversity conjunction, particle. But now, ye boast. Now, what are you going to boast about?
With all that money you made.
Yeah. Boast about your long life? Who gave it to you?
The Lord.
Mm-hmm. The Lord gave it to us. What are you going to... And anything that you have, whose is it?
The Lord.
What did Solomon say? We go out and we work like bees and ants and this slave and grunt and groan and work, and you pile up all of these goods and everything that you have, and then you croak. And then what power over it do you have?
Vanity of vanities.
That etnis, vapor. We don't really have any control over it. If you even give it to somebody, what control over them do you have?
None.
What can they do to it? With it?
Whatever they want.
Pitch it to the four winds. Just like Mrs. Younger. That was, remember the Youngers and the Daltons? She was a Younger. All right? The Cole Younger and all them, those were her brothers and stuff. Okay? It started out with $15,000. Her father was very rich. Her father was a smart old guy, I guess. He had about 150 slaves. This guy was slick. He's probably part Jewish. He'd send out these slaves to borrow money from the neighbors, tell them that they were starving to death. He'd go borrow money, and then he'd get all them slaves back there and get the money from them, and then he'd go off and make some investment and make money on it. At all time, around home, he's wearing all these old, wore-out clothes and everything. When he'd go off on the big business trips, he'd put on these slick-looking suits. Nobody where he lived knew that he had any money at all. But he tried to provide for his children.
Then he'd take the profits and then pay the money back.
Yeah. Well, he didn't pay the money back. They just get it. One way borrowing. If you loan money to a slave, what guarantee are you going to get it back? They don't own themselves. Do we own ourselves in all reality? No. We don't own even the 6x6 lot that they bury us in. They'll have to take that away from us someday. But now you brag. You boast. Second person, plural, present, indicative, middle voice. Look at that middle voice there. Remember the book on the modes and tenses there? I'm trying to impart a little bit of what I've learned from those books to you. Middle voice. We boast and we brag. In the vauntings, braggings, and boastings, and all of it there, it means empty. Empty vauntings, empty braggings, and empty boastings. is nothing but hot air of ye, and that all your bragging or boasting of such evil idiots. Ponera.
Does the word pretensions fit there?
Yes. Pretension. What do? When we boast and brag, we're being pretentious.
We're pretending that we
are. We're pretending something we aren't. Arrogance. Thank you, young lady.
That's what it says here.
Narcissism. What's narcissism?
Lover of oneself.
Lover of oneself. Narcissist looked at himself in the mirror, didn't he? And this glory in his beauty. And who gave him the beauty? If he had beauty at all. How many of you ever seen somebody come out looking like they were scrambled up with an egg beater and then popped? I guarantee you there's nothing you can do about it. If you're born beautiful, young lady, you're just beautiful. If you're born handsome, you're just handsome. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you ever did to get it. It just happens sometimes.
Yes.
They can only do so much. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You know, I mean, you can do a little bit. But what do? It's all going to rot away anyway. We're going to find that out in just a couple of verses. These verses aren't to make you depressed. These are to make you a realist. Okay? A realist. They aren't depressing, but they're to make you a realist. Know what you are. Evil ponera. What's this ponera?
Pornographic.
There's
pornographic.
Huh?
Pornographic.
That pornographic comes from this word here. Prostitution comes from this word here.
Basically perversion.
Perversion comes from this word here. Practiced.
Which word is that?
Ponera. That's it. Ponera. That's that word right there.
Okay.
Ponera. It's got the pie in front of it.
Okay.
All right. Starts out with a pie.
Okay.
That's that. Mathematical symbol there, you know.
Yeah.
Ponera. That's practiced intensified evil. Now, you can glory and you can boast in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. All right? Romans 1:30 and 1 John 2:16. By the way, the word Allah, Zol, Dias, that one was used a couple of times in the New Testament. A couple of times. 4 and verse 17. Let's look at that.
You're going to look at this a little bit. Do you think then if you have a little left over from your paycheck or your Social Security, you feel bad about it?
Oh, you shouldn't feel bad about it. You should feel blessed about it.
Well, I know, but you get the feeling that if you have a little more than somebody else has, you begin to think, well, am I boasting? And you kind of like it when you're not
in the red.
Huh?
Yeah. Remember all the years you were in the red?
Well, I know, but then now, then you felt
don't feel guilty about it.
Then you felt humble.
Just remember,
that's what we're supposed to do.
That's right. Just remember where it comes from and whose it is. It's not ours.
Is that like the guy who wrote the book Humility and How I Achieved It?
Yeah. God needs to keep us humble. No, what we have, if you have anything, if you have enough food, if you have a shelter over your head, if you've got a car that's not all wore out, you're lucky. I bought almost a new car. It wasn't new, but it was almost new. And I went down, and it's kind of giving me trouble with the steering business. It never has been exactly right, so I took it down to Toyota, and I said, this thing with the steering business is not working right. They go in there and look at it. Oh, there's a recall on this thing. This is a brand new car. Don't even have 20,000 miles on it. And they're going to have to put a whole new steering box in it. Well,
at least we fix it.
Yeah, we're going to fix it. It's not going to cost anything. But I'm lucky I got a car that goes down the road. I remember when I didn't have a car that I could drive across Bakersfield as big as it is today. I'd have had to walk part of the way. I might have got started. I'm thankful that it's knocking and rattling and going on, but it's getting across town. At least got a warranty on it.
How many warranties do you have?
On me? None.
That's right. How many of you have life insurance?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's your life insurance.
I don't have a dime. I'm going up in the rapture.
You don't care, do you? So, you know what? You've got the right attitude, brother.
It costs too much.
It costs too much to just lay down and die, doesn't it?
I'd rather get raptured.
They swindled me out.
Well, life insurance. Whose life insurance is it when you die? It's not yours.
Yeah. It's your heirs.
Yeah. It's your heirs.
You have to die to win. And Dave Vernon McGee says, you say that you're going to will your money to the work of the Lord after you die. He says, after you die, it ain't yours no more.
No, that's right.
You want to give it while you're living.
Yeah. That's when it's yours.
Yeah.
If you're going to give something, give it while it's still yours, because after you die, it's not yours anymore. How much did the richest man in the world leave behind?
Nothing.
Everything. He didn't take anything with him. How about that rich man with the Lazarus there, that Lazarus was sitting at his gate? How many bottles of water did he take with him to hell?
He's begging for a drop.
Didn't even have a drop of water, did he? That's pretty bad, isn't it? In whose power was he?
Satan's power.
He had nothing, not even a drop of water, not a drink of water. Nothing. He didn't get to take one bottle of water with him. And that man had rich clothing and a beautiful home and a fast chariot, probably. Maybe five beautiful wives, I don't know. But he had everything that this world could offer, but he didn't have Jesus. I know that. And when he died, he couldn't take one glass of water with him. I bet he would have given everything he had and lived in poverty if he could have just taken a gallon of water into hell with him.
Nor could he tell his brothers.
Yeah, and he couldn't even tell his brothers. He couldn't go back and say, don't come this way. The road sign was already out there. It's still out there. Live today like it's the last day you're going to be on this world. You can plan for tomorrow. You can plan on going to work tomorrow. You can plan on doing all these things. But you don't have tomorrow. You have today. And just think about it like this, too. Is this the 24th?
Yes, sir.
Think about it like this also. Brother Wally always brings this out. How many have you won to Christ this week? How many lives eternally have you touched this week? You can go out and you can go down the street and give out $20, $30. You can go out there. You can go to your bank, Brother Wally, and get $10,000 a day out of it and go give it all away to people on the street. You know how long it's going to last them? Not very long. Because it's just material. How about if you told them about Jesus?
For eternity.
That's going to last forever. That's doing something eternal. Dale Carnegie. How many of you ever heard of him?
Yep.
You know, he was a... During his life, he cheated a lot of people. And built a lot of people out of their money. And used up a lot of lives. Right toward the end of his life, he went to this preacher and says, man, I have used up people. I've done all kinds of bad things all my life. I'm very rich. But I'm facing eternity. What can I do? To get me a place in heaven. Well, it says start doing good deeds. How many ever heard of a Carnegie Library?
Well, he's got that stuff all over the place.
Yeah, all over the place. But I'm going to tell you something. Them libraries didn't get him in heaven.
How to win friends and influence people.
How to win friends and influence people. All kinds of things. How do you get to heaven?
Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
By the merits of Jesus Christ.
Imputed righteousness.
Imputed righteousness. That's how we get to heaven. How do we trust each and every day in this world? one day at a time. You trust that the Lord will make a place in this world for you tomorrow. But you better have your right life with the Lord today. That's the most important thing in it. A child of God is going to be with the Lord. But sometimes, does the Bible talk about blushing in the presence of God, a child of God? Why would you blush in the presence of God?
Because you see how small what you've done is.
Yeah.
Things we didn't do.
How about if you lived 85 years and you didn't do anything at all for the Lord in those 85 years and you were a child of God? How much blushing do you think you'd be doing for how many millions of years? And how much do you think you're going to have over there? Now, we don't worry about that because the Lord's going to give us our rewards anyway. But what do you think? What you do here does matter. It does matter. Dale Carnegie, I don't know whether he's a saved man or a lost man. I really don't know. But I guarantee you he didn't get to heaven by building a library. And he had a guilty conscience of what he had done to people to get where he got, where he went, and where he was, and to get what he had. Well, I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Do something eternal this week. Get out there and thrash around and see who you can influence. Win friends and influence people for the Lord. Don't have to build them libraries. Tell them about Jesus. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson that we had tonight. Lord, we just realize how temporal